WildTalkRadio.com.
I have one question for everybody here tonight.
Are you ready?
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
Now, I put no stock in what any man thinks, only what I know. And what I know is this: the result will be just like the first time. I will put him 6 feet under. Game over.
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
I am talent. I am fame. I am music. I am the air you breathe. I am everything.
And Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, well, I'm here to make something perfectly clear. The queen is dead. And for the first time ever in Monday Night Raw history, I can rightfully say, long live the one, the only goddess of WWE.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw.
This was the setup for Money in the Bank. Because that's the road we're on. 3 weeks. Money in the Bank. Live on the WWE Network. This is live right here at twitch.tv/WTOLive. It is the Raw Post Show presented as always by MBG Films. YouTube.com/MBG1211. I'm Sirach, and that is Lindsay Ward.
Well, you can't fault them for trying. Because there were some good setups here. There were some very good setups.
And one massive failure.
Yeah.
Alexa Bliss's Converse. They failed her tonight.
So sad. They're fired.
She wrestled Naomi after setting up the whole Money in the Bank stuff. We'll get to the men's in a second, but she said that the women would be in Money in the Bank. She announced that it was Naomi, it was Dana Brooke, and it was Natalya and herself in Money in the Bank for Raw. On the women's side, then Naomi challenged her to a match, and throughout the match, her shoes kept coming untied. Because she wasn't in ring gear, she was dressed just to host a Moment of Bliss. So she was just wearing her Converse, and like they kept coming untied. Since she lost on Twitter, she just keeps using loop, swoop, and pull. Loop, swoop, and pull. It's been amazing.
She just keeps telling herself that.
Yep.
Over and over and over again because you have to.
But, no, it was still the build-up. So now those are the four women. I'm kind of surprised by Dana Brooke in the match.
It's an interesting choice. I feel like somebody's definitely trying to do a thing with her, and there's nothing wrong with that. So we'll have to see how it plays out.
And I assume it's missing someone because, well, they're at home. They're just sitting at home. For the men, it is Braun Strowman, Drew McIntyre, Ricochet, and Baron Corbin. Okay.
So, for this one, this is an interesting choice. Interesting group, I'm not gonna lie. I expect Ricochet to do some crazy, stupid, amazing things in this match because it's him plus a ladder, so you know there are going to be shenanigans involved there. There was some solid heat between all of these fellas.
A little bit of solid heat.
Let me just say this and then you can go. I was more interested in seeing Drew McIntyre and Alexa Bliss as a pairing just for the wickedly evil things that they could do together than like all the things that were going on in the ring, but that was just me.
I kind of got annoyed that this is his second week in as a singles competitor on Raw. We're already calling Ricochet short.
Yeah, okay, here's the thing.
Like, can we stop that?
If they screw up Ricochet for us, I don't think there's going to be any forgiveness involved in that. It's like, you leave that man alone. You don't talk about his height at all, because here's the thing. He can do stuff that Corbin and McIntyre and everybody else involved in that couldn't dream of doing. Like, the dude can fly. He can legit fly. Just can we not with this?
And if you don't point it out, no one would notice. So it's like, can we just leave it alone?
I feel like that's Baron Corbin. Like, that's the way that they're going to write him, is that, like, everybody is shorter than he is because he's, like, monstrously tall. So he's like, you know, just leave it to the adults. It's like, yeah, okay, all right, honey. Yeah, because you qualify as an adult in this situation. But
everyone wants to be Mr. Money in the Bank. They all make claims for it. Braun and challenge Drew McIntyre and Baron Corbin to a match. Him and Ricochet teamed up to defeat them in this matchup when Drew left Baron Corbin all alone. So yay for that.
Well, I mean, if anybody would know what it's like, it would be Braun, because Braun's, I think, the only one in there that's actually... No, Corbin has too. Mm-hmm. So Corbin and Braun both know what it's like to win Money in the Bank, to have it. They also both know what it's like to get screwed out of it.
Yeah.
Because they're actually... two of the four that have lost it.
Mm-hmm. And they're the last two to have lost it.
So there's a little added incentive there for them.
Yeah, that also doesn't just goes to show you how they've dropped the ball with that briefcase the last 2 years.
Well, I feel like there's so much hype around it, in the sense that it's like it's a guaranteed shot. Like, whoever gets it is next in line for the title. So I think they're trying to add that level of doubt with it, where it's like, yes, you have a guaranteed title match, but you aren't automatically guaranteed to win, because your two previous losers were Damian Sandow and John Cena. And those were far enough apart from the next two losses that it's like, yeah, okay, people have lost it in the past, but there's not enough precedent set there for it to really count for anything. So I feel like they were like, okay, well, you know, we don't want people to have the automatic shot, or we have other plans. We need to get this out of the way so it's not in play. So here's what we're going to do. We're just going to get rid of it. We're going to burn it.
Yeah, and they screwed up Braun by having him just, hey, I want a title match, and they killed the gimmick with him. That's where they... fully dropped the ball with Braun Strowman. But that's a discussion for another day.
Yes.
It was the Usos defeating Gallows and Anderson. You would go, hey, I thought Gallows and Anderson were on SmackDown Live. You would be wrong. They're on Monday Night Raw. And some of us thought they were still on Raw.
That would be me. I thought they were still on Raw. I had no idea they were on SmackDown Live.
But
when the hell was the last time they showed up on SmackDown Live?
When they said, hey, we're going to push people who are under pushed 3 months ago, and then we haven't seen them much since. They've wrestled here and there, but hasn't been much.
Yeah, there you go.
Usos won the match. The match was fine. Afterwards, the Usos showed footage of Dash Wilder shaving the back of Scott Dawson, and like, oh my god, that was an invasion of privacy, and we're friends who help each other out. I have just big arms and big back. I can't just do it myself.
I don't know what purpose this served.
This was dumb. This was completely dumb. It was stupid. It wasn't funny. It made the Usos look like goose. It didn't help the revival. I know it wasn't supposed to, but it didn't help the Usos, who was supposed to, like, hey, we caught him doing something. We all realized wrestlers shaved their bodies.
I think it was more the implication that they're shaving each other's bodies, which is kind of...
Yeah, I know.
Bordering on homophobia a little bit. So, I mean, that's not what you want. I understand that they were doing it where it's like, oh my god, look at them. They look so stupid. They're shaving each other's backs and yada, yada, yada. But it's like, you know, okay, there's nothing wrong with two dudes shaving each other's backs. I'm sorry, there's not. Like, there's nothing wrong, and there's really nothing funny about it. It's just like, hey, look, I need to shave this. I need help. My buddy's here. Hey, do you mind? Like, clearly Wilder and Dawson are cool enough with each other that it's like, hey, could you just, like, help me out with this? And they help each other out. Like, there's nothing wrong with it at all. So it's like, it just, I feel like this was somebody, like, feel like this was a really good idea on paper. Like, somebody wrote this down and they're like, oh, this is going to be great. This is going to be comedic gold. This is going to be everything that we want. Yada, yada, yada. And then they executed it, and the way that they executed it is like, okay, but they're okay, so they're shaving each other's back.
Ha ha ha.
And you've got like Jimmy or Jay standing there like, oh my god, this is so stupid, look at them, oh my god. Like, it was almost like freaking middle school, you know?
Oh yeah.
Like, back in middle school, if we all had cell phones, which some people do now, but it's like, back when I was in middle school, you didn't have that. of like the stupid locker room shenanigans that happen where it's like, oh, look at them, they're doing something completely normal, let's make fun of them for it. That's what this was. It was just like, okay.
Ms. TV with Ms. having the special guest of Bobby Lashley, who's now apparently talking as in third person. He ran down his accomplishments. Miz ran down his, and he said he called himself an overachiever because, have you seen my wife? And Miz says he's done what he's done without being blessed with Lashley's athletic ability. Lashley brought up Shane McMahon punching Miz's dad in the face, and then that's Miz sort of snapped at that point after he said that his father was worthless. They had a quick match. Shane McMahon ran a distraction, allowing Lashley to get the win. Shane then beat up Miz and put him locked in a submission after showing his father on the screen. Miz would later challenge Shane McMahon to a match at Money in the Bank, a steel cage match.
Okay, that escalated quickly. Where is Leo Rush in this? Did he get fired again?
He didn't get fired. He's not well liked right now by certain folks, so we'll just leave it at that.
Okay, I just had to ask the question because it's like, well, he was managing Bobby Lashley, and now he's not managing Bobby Lashley. And there is zero explanation as to why he's not managing Bobby Lashley anymore. So, you know, that does bear the question, but WWE is also not keen on explaining a lot of things that have happened lately, so...
We're not going to get an explanation why Leo Rush has disappeared. We'll just leave it at that.
Okay, fine.
Viking Raiders defeated Lucha House Party. Lucha House Party attacked the Viking Raiders as they made their way to the ring, so I guess the Lucha House Party are heel. I don't know. Viking Raiders won.
Yay! They kept their name for 2 weeks in a row.
How about that? That's an accomplishment. Then we had the Firefly Funhouse. Bray Wyatt was wearing a beret. He was painting. It helps him express himself. He said, when you express yourself, then no one can truly hurt you. We had the rabbit appear. We saw the photo, which was Sister Abigail's house burning down. Abby the puppet was not very happy. Wyatt told the rabbit it should run. And these are all voiced by Bray, by the way. And Abby was scolding Bray for screwing around in the funhouse and for being a very bad boy. And Bray goes, "Oh, you forgive me, right?" And then today's word of the day was sociopath. Yep, it's over. It's getting over.
Okay, so number one, the rabbit looked like Donnie Darko. I'm not 100% sure if this is intentional. It probably is. And two, I don't still quite know what to make of this. I don't particularly like it at this point. Still trying to give it a chance, but I'm kind of under the general impression that this is going to go until he just kind of loses his mind. Like, he just snaps. And I'm not 100% sure what is going to make him snap. I still want the explanation as to why Bray Wyatt is like this now. Like, did he just go to a place for 8 months and he got very intensive therapy and this is the result? Is this him, you know, basically he's gotten rid of Abigail through the lake of reincarnation and he's trying to adjust and be normal, but Bray Wyatt himself is not a normal person after being twisted by this dark evil witch inside of him for all these years, and so this is like him trying to be normal but he can't? I mean, like, what is the explanation for this? I need it.
We'll see if we get
it. I need to know how Bray went from the deleters of worlds.
Yes.
To here. I need that tangible connection because right now I'm just sitting here looking at it and it's like, okay, so did Bray and Eric go to the same place and Bray just got like way better treatment or way harsher treatment than Eric? Because like Eric's fine now. He's, you know, he went from being creepy landmass guy carrying around balloons and scaring people to being Mr. Recycle eco-friendly man. And he's normal and he just got a bunch of tattoos and it's fine. Like, that's what happened with Eric. So what happened with Bray that Bray is now running around in berets and sweaters and chinos and he's talking to puppets and he's painting pictures and he's doing all these other things? Like, what, where is that connection? I need that to understand this because right now I don't understand it. I mean, I get it. Like, I get it. But it's like in terms of how this all sort of intertwines, I don't understand it. So I would very much like the explanation. But I will say I did like the reference back to the house burning down.
They're tying it all together.
That was a nice little touch. Because it's like, oh, hey, look, I remember when Orton did that to Bray. So maybe that's like Bray sorting through his
past
of, you know, because I feel like it is all interconnected in a way with his past. And that's what the creepy promos were. And all of the puppet are like a manifestation of Bray's different parts of Bray's personality.
Mm-hmm.
And so the technical, real, actual Bray Wyatt is there in the fun house. But it's four separate characters. And he's doing the puppet? The
voices.
The Abby puppet?
Yeah.
They just, like, jacked his voice up?
Yeah. It sounded like him. I could be wrong, but it sounded like
him. I know the buzzard is for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's trying to change his voice, and he can't really, like... He can do accents, but he can't do voice alteration that well.
So, anyway. There you go. Becky Lynch came to the ring. She talked about how a year ago, no one thought she would be handling WrestleMania, but she did. No one thought she would beat Ronda Rousey, and she did. She said that people know that her entire career has been a long shot, but nothing else she has done has been an accident. She said she ran her mouth about Charlotte Flair holding the division hostage, so there's no way she'll be doing that. She will do that now. She said she didn't make history by dodging anyone. She made it by beating everyone. She said she still has Charlotte's number. She said Lacey Evans is a great athlete with a great right hand, but she's making a mistake by punching someone who likes it. Lynch said her beating is coming at Money Bank. We saw the footage from last week. Becky called out at Lacey Evans. She said, it's just like a man to want what he wants when he wants it. She said she was trying not to lose her manner. She said she warned Lynch about not letting her emotions get the best of her, and she didn't listen, so she's done talking, and both women brawled. I like how they're continuing to just sort of beat the crap out of each other week in and week out. I like that they can't be contained, so it's like, we're not just hot-shotting a brawl between the two women. It's every single week, which is good.
I like that, like, I feel like the producers and all the backstage people were like, oh, we got Becky through WrestleMania. No more pull-apart brawls for Becky. And then she just, like, starts shit all over again with
Lacey.
This is just, like, this is just Becky's MO. She's just going to have pull-apart fights now. This is just what she does.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fine. It's completely fine.
I'm liking the build-up.
You have to do something with this, and I feel like they're doing something, which is good.
There. Hawkins and Ryder beat the Revival.
And they're freshly shaven backs.
Mm-hmm. Sami Zayn came down to the ring and told us about the definition of psychological entitlement, and told how we all have little baby tantrums, and he asked, should I quit WWE? And he said it would be amazing, but you know what would be more amazing? Staying here week after week and holding every single one of us accountable for our actions. He called himself the critic of the critics. He said the fans have been drunk with power, and now he's taking back the power. Trying to see where it goes. I'm enjoying it. I'm just waiting to see where it goes.
I feel like the writers are seriously just, like, servicing themselves with the Sami Zayn character. Like, they're just venting all their frustrations through Sami Zayn right now.
Pretty much.
That's kind of what this is.
Rey Mysterio beat Samoa Joe. Dominic still being used in the story because Ray desperately wants his son to be a professional wrestler. And, well, I have a feeling we're building to Dominic's first match coming on Monday Night Raw at some point, or at least teaming with his father.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm looking forward to it, but we'll see.
We'll see what he can do.
Then it was the contract signing. AJ Styles, Seth Rollins for the Universal Championship in 3 weeks at Money in the Bank. They have a lot of respect for one another. AJ Styles brought up how for a long time people wondered whether Seth Rollins would be the next AJ Styles. And Rollins was like, I'd rather just be the first Seth freaking Rollins. And Styles brought up how Rollins is a workhorse, but at what cost? How is he holding up now? Like, you used to have backup, but your brotherhood is no longer there to hold you up. And Styles said Rollins went through hell at WrestleMania, but the problem is, I don't think you have anything left. Is what he mentioned. But Styles, he's ready to go now. He's a bulldog, and he would sink his teeth and not let go until he stood tall over Seth Rollins as the new Universal Championship. They both signed the contract. Rollins said they have things in common, but there's also a lot of differences between the two of them. They have similar success stories, but the one thing that separates them is that he beat Brock, and that's why he's holding the title, and Styles is trying to take the title from him. Rollins says he was at his best when he beat Brock, and he will be at his best when he beats AJ Styles. Rollins signed the contract. They stare down. Then they had a fight. They went back and forth. AJ would eventually nail a phenomenal form through the table to close Monday Night Raw.
It was a really good ending segment for Monday Night Raw. Liked the intensity. The forearm through the table was a nice little touch. You're kind of having to build this one because there's not really a reason for Seth Rollins and AJ Styles to want to fight other than the title. So
yeah, there's no real heat between the two. So it's like, yeah.
So they were trying to add a little sizzle.
Yeah. Well, that's it. That's Raw. It was all right. It was a decent show.
It's better than it has been. I will say that.
We're building. We're growing.
We're growing. I feel like certain changes have been made, and we're now seeing the reflection of those changes. I'll leave it at that.
They gotta build new stars. And new characters. So, we'll see how it goes. This has been the Raw Post Show, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Tomorrow, 10:30 p.m., it will drop at RockRadioShow.com and WildTalkRadio.com. That's the Rock Extra Reviews, Ms. and Mrs. Episode 11. Thursday, we will drop a brand new episode of The Rock.
Yes, Thursday is my birthday, my actual real life birthday, so we will not be live because I will probably not be sober, and that's never good when I go on the air drunk, because God knows what's going to come out of my mouth. So, to preempt that, we will be taping a show for your listening pleasure. So we'll do news, notes, NXT, SmackDown, all that happy stuff. We will have a discussion. We're still trying to figure out what that is, but the show will not be live on Thursday, but we may be around for Fortnite with friends. I don't know yet how that all is going to go, but Thursday, the show will be live at some point.
Make sure you follow us on Twitch, twitch.tv/WTLive, because we may go live at a random point at some point this weekend. Don't know when. But we may. We'll also have Fortnite with friends on Saturday, but make sure you're following us on Twitch because there's a Fortnite event coming. We'll probably be live for it. So you all can see it.
We gotta geek out for that.
So there's that. Saturday night, midnight, at CBRO, CBRO Live.com, GreaterThanGreatDebate.com, Sunday at Wrestle Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Monday for the Wild Press Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. As mentioned, follow, subscribe, twitch.tv/WTR Live. Use creator code Rock and Sock in the Fortnite item shop.
And you can follow me on most of the social medias at Linsward, LNSWRD.
Thanks to MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. We'll see you Thursday for The Rock and right back here Monday night for the Raw Post Show, live across the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network, streaming live at wildtalkradio.com, twitch.tv/WTR Live. Peace.
WildTalkRadio.com.